Darren Adam on LBC.
03456060973. Back to our conversation about the way that the pandemic has maybe changed or not changed your relationship with alcohol in just a few minutes. But let's turn to the USA, where Donald Trump, who always wanted to make history, has, becoming the first president ever to be impeached twice. The House of Representatives impeaching Trump for incitement of insurrection at the Capitol riot 1 week ago. 10 Republicans siding with the Democrats. They, of course, the Democrats will need to find 17 Republican senators and a much smaller Senate if they are going to convict. But let's reflect on yesterday and see where we go next. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks joining me live this morning. Simon, it's still yesterday where you are, of course.
It's very much still yesterday. It's like the day that's never, ever going to end.
Is the dust settling?
Well, I think the dust is settling a little bit. I mean, you know, the outcome of this today was, of course, pre-cooked. There was never any doubt about what was going to happen. The only question was how many Republicans were going to side with the Democrats and turn against the president. And now we know that the number is 10. Democrats, I think, were hoping it might be a little higher. Steny Hoyer, the congressman from Maryland, a right-hand man to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, indicated that he thought earlier in the day as many as 20 Republicans might turn on the president. I think it's worth noting, Darren, that some Republicans would not disclose to reporters, even in the sort of hour leading up to the vote, how they were going to vote. And some indicated that the issue of their own personal safety and security and the impact that a vote against Donald Trump might have on that was definitely an issue in their mind. And much as all of our focus today has been, rightly so, on the debate that's been taking place inside the congressional building, in many ways, what was happening outside the congressional building was just as important. It is now ringed with literal steel, a 7-foot unscalable fence put in place, hundreds of National Guard troops who were found there sleeping in the corridors when members of Congress and reporters and congressional staff arrived for work this morning. I mean, literally snoozing and clutching their rifles to their chests and using their kit bags as pillows. To all intents and purposes, 1 week after Donald Trump's insurrection, his incitement of a mob of baying conspiracy theorists, some of whom were armed, Capitol Hill is an armed encampment. And we learnt that 20,000 National Guard troops will be on the streets of this city for the inauguration. You know this town. This is a small town. Yeah. 20,000 troops. It is stunning what has happened here in the course of a week. Yeah. And it is stunning to be in the place that Donald Trump has taken this country.
And it's staggering that that building has gone from being such an insecure building to such a secure building, because a week ago we know that these people were able to wander around inside. We saw photographs of people sitting with their feet up at the desk in the office of, for example, the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So the change just in that security level, I imagine a lot of people are asking, Simon, why the hell wasn't there at least some security around last week?
Yes, it's funny. My phone has just literally flashed up with the New York Times pumping out a news analysis piece. It says the impeachment of President Trump for a second time in a Capitol ringed by troops seemed like an almost inevitable culmination of his term. I mean, we always thought it was going to end badly. Look, there are reports here that some members of Congress may themselves soon be facing criminal charges, amid reports that the day before the insurrection, some Republican lawmakers were showing a group of people that had arrived in Washington for the Save America March around the congressional building. We got evidence today that certainly some of those people participating in the uprising seemed to have a knowledge of the layout of the building. So there is a suggestion here that there was some inside assistance being made available to them. Look, we're talking about, according to the Department of Justice, the U.S. The acting U.S. attorney who's overseeing all the prosecutions, legal efforts to neutralize the threat posed to this country by President Trump's supporters that he said yesterday will take years. I mean, I think there is a real shock and a sudden realization here that we are in an entirely new era. You know, I think several months ago, you and I talked after that alleged plot was foiled to kidnap the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer.
Yes.
And at the time, it seemed like it had come out of nowhere, and this seemed like it was just an aberrant moment championed allegedly by some extremist supporters of President Trump. Now I think we're coming to realize that this is a very serious threat to the security and stability of American democracy, of cities like Washington, D.C., and of, literally last week, the cradle of American democracy,
the
Capitol building.
Let's talk about the FBI and their warnings from a few days ago. They've warned of possible armed protests planned for all 50 state capitals and, again, D.C. next week. Actually, do you know what? Let's call it what it is. Not possible armed protests. Possible new attempts at domestic terrorism.
Yeah, absolutely.
In all of these state capitals and in Washington, D.C. How much fear is there that we might see what we saw in Washington a week ago all across the states?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, that's why state capitals in various parts of the country are being boarded up. I mean, the legislative buildings being boarded up. The National Guard tonight drafted in by the governor of Oregon to protect the legislature there. I mean, we all presume that states like Wisconsin and Michigan, battleground states where these domestic terrorists believe President Trump's lies that the election was rigged, have the capacity very much to be in the crosshairs. But also this sense that we're going to be in this for a very long time. It feels like the nascent beginning of an insurgent campaign that could see, in some fashion, Washington, D.C., for example, finding itself in a very similar situation that London found itself back in the 1970s when the IRA insurgency was going on. I mean, I grew up in London in the 1970s. I remember getting on board underground trains, and there were always signs up there warning you about, you know, anybody that's left a parcel on the underground train, immediately alert the authorities. It was a scary time to be in London, and I think we might be on the brink of something very similar here. When you see the amount of weaponry that is being recovered by police as they, law enforcement agencies across the country, as they arrest alleged perpetrators of last week's violence, assault rifles, pistols, knives, stun guns, smoke bombs. One of the men arrested had boasted on social media that it was his intention to hunt down Nancy Pelosi in the congressional building, find her, and execute her by shooting her in the head on live television. And he had the weaponry, allegedly, to bring that about if he'd been able to find her. This is really serious stuff now.
Let me read you a tweet from Marjorie Taylor Greene, congresswoman for Georgia's 14th Congressional District. She describes herself firstly on Twitter as Christian, wife, mom, small business owner, proud American, 100% pro-life, pro-gun, pro-Trump, MAGA, and I would suggest, Simon, as dumb as the chair in which she is sitting.
Well, because she's QAnon. She's avowedly QAnon.
And here's what she's tweeted. On the 21st of January, I'm filing articles of impeachment on President-elect Joe Biden.
Yeah, no, she said it tonight.
Where do we start
with this? She said it tonight in an interview with Newsmax TV here. It was a big primetime announcement that she made on one of the television channels that these conspiracy theorists are now hewing to, because, of course, they feel that the Fox News channel, by declaring Joe Biden the president-elect, betrayed them. We have seen behavior in the House of Representatives over the last few days that beggars belief. There's another congresswoman here, Lauren Boebert, who has arrived from Colorado, who insists that wherever she goes in Washington, because this is such an unsafe liberal city, she's going to exercise her Second Amendment rights to pack a Glock pistol. And she put up a massive fight with Capitol Police last night when they ordered her to go through a magnetometer. They've set up magnetometers outside the entrance to
The
metal detectors, using the American parlance there. Metal detectors. I've been way too long. Outside the entrance to the House of Representatives. Berating police, insisting that this was an infringement of her constitutional rights, even though firearms are not permitted. committed in the Capitol building. And indeed, there are fears among some members of Congress that some of these people are so crazy that the only people in the House of Representatives that under any circumstances should be armed should be members of the Capitol Police and Security. Mm. So Nancy Pelosi tonight has had to unveil fines. I believe $5,000 in the first instance, $10,000 in the second instance, that will be automatically deducted from the salaries of these members of Congress if they continue to flout the rules and refuse to go through a metal detector on their way to the House floor. This is where the civic discourse is now heading in this country.
And where's this all coming from? This is coming from the idea that the election was falsified or fraudulent in some way. The individual you've just described, Marjorie Taylor Greene. These are at least two people elected on the same bloody ballot paper as
as
Joe Biden in the same election that they claim is fraudulent. Do they not see the logic gap here?
I think we're way past logic. I mean, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I think that in the case of particularly those two members of Congress, there is not a great deal of logic that that applies. And what they're hewing to beyond the president's lies is the broader claim that big tech is now allied with the big state. I mean, it's all one vast conspiracy theory to deny them the right to communicate. We saw Devin Nunes this week, Republican congressman, slavishly loyal, so loyal to President Trump that he's now been given the Presidential Medal of Freedom, rendering the Presidential Medal of Freedom, it suddenly has less value than a Blue Peter badge. He was complaining this week on Fox News, on the nation's most watched conservative news channel, that Republicans are now being denied an opportunity to communicate with the American people. And he's saying this with a straight face on America's most watched news channel. So they're hewing to this argument that big tech is out to silence them, and also that cancel culture is taking place here. Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, who led the efforts to block Joe Biden's affirmation of victory on Capitol Hill last week, absolutely furious that he's lost a book contract with Simon & Schuster, because Simon & Schuster perfectly reasonably, in my view, has argued that Josh Hawley was involved in sparking an armed insurrection in the Capitol last week.
Because, and this is important, because free speech does not mean that you have the right to have your book published.
And this is why, and this is why so many people, and there are Republicans, by the way, including Senator Lindsey Graham, describing what happened here as an act of domestic terrorism.
Yes.
Many of these people are using the freedoms that the Constitution provides them to exploit their opportunity to attack the country in exactly the same way as Al-Qaeda did on September the 11th, 2001. Mm. So when you see moves to create no-fly lists so that these people can no longer travel on aeroplanes and fly from Alabama or Texas or Georgia to Washington, D.C. to launch a violent insurrection, they say that's an infringement of their freedoms. Mm. They don't understand that they have used those freedoms, the internet, the ability to communicate, Parler, Twitter, whatever it happens to be, they have used those freedoms in exactly the same way as Al-Qaeda terrorists did to go after the soft underbelly of the United States.
Simon, we've got about 30 seconds, and I do mean that. As you know, you and I could talk all night if we were permitted, but in 30 seconds, what happens next? My understanding is that the Senate will not consider the impeachment of Trump and make a judgment until Joe Biden's in office.
That's correct. But it does look like the trial is going to take place. There does not seem to be an indication that this thing is going to be swept under the rug thereafter. So the question becomes, so what's the point of putting him on trial after he leaves office? Well, the only point is to try and secure a conviction so that he can never be allowed to seek elected office
in
this country again.
Which would require a separate vote, wouldn't it?
Yes. And but the conviction would require, as you said earlier, 17 Republicans turning against him. I think a number of them will take their cues from Senator Mitch McConnell, said to be leaning in favour of conviction. If you are a Republican like Senator McConnell and you say you want to be rid of this man, the ultimately the way to be rid of him is to try and make sure that he can never run for election again.
Especially if you want to be the Senate Majority Leader again in a couple of years. And he wants a shot at that, presumably. Simon, we'll need to leave that there, but I suspect we will talk again before too long. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. LBC 148.